Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Last Friday, a new permanent monument was unveiled on Boston Common. It's called the Embrace, and it honors the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and his wife, Coretta Scott King, who met right here in Boston as college students in the 1950s. WBUR Morning Edition host Rupa Shenoy had the chance to see the Embrace before its unveiling. And while she was there, she spoke with Imari Paris Jeffries, executive director of Embrace Boston.
Would you mind describing for folks what it's like to stand here and what we're seeing?
I mean, the first time I saw it, I cried. And someone said to me before I saw it for the first time, Imari, when you see it, you're going to cry. And I said, I've seen monuments before. I'm not going to cry when I see a monument. And I actually did. I think the scale and the magnitude is what is one of the things that makes this monument awe-inspiring when you see it. It is two stories high. The plaza is four stories wide, and despite the fact that we're in the middle of the city, it's a quiet place, and so it's a place of both contemplation and joy simultaneously. And so I think it's one of America's most miraculous pieces of public art.
I've read about it, but I didn't realize it was going to have so many details, like the wrinkles on his fingers and things like that.
Yeah, what made this incredible is, you know, there are roughly 12 industrial 3D printers in the country, and during this process, we utilized 8 of them. And so the details, you know, both the artists who crafted the embrace and the pieces, and Hank Willis Thomas's vision of a hug, right? This idea of a hug being both a representation of vulnerability and security, the inspiration of the photo of Dr. King and Mrs. King embracing was why this was chosen. And in the photo, when you hug someone, you know, sometimes someone's the top hugger, someone's the bottom hugger. Mrs. King is on the bottom of the hug. And you could see the joy and the love in the photo, but you could see Mrs. King literally holding the weight of Dr. King in her arms. And it also speaks to the power of Black women and women in general being the anchors and the keepers of movements in this country. And so to have a memorial not only honor Dr. King, but Mrs. King was important to us.
When you said patina, do you mean like the color of it?
The color, right. So you see that it is darker. And some of the images that people saw online, it was super bright, shiny, and similar to the Chicago Bean, except it was gold. And so we decided that this matched the aesthetic of the Common. This was Boston. Boston is bronze, it's heavy, it's understated, it's elegant, and we wanted it also to talk to the Shaw Memorial up the street, which is also the same bronze patina. and because we're in New England and it's winter a lot and it's cold a lot and it's sandy and salty a lot, we wanted something that was built to last, and this will be here for generations, and something that's shiny and glassy. We would be spending a lot of resources just keeping it polished, and we didn't think that was a good use of anyone's resources to do that.
The great thing about public art, like you mentioned, it's going to be here for a long time. Have you thought about what you want it to mean to people in like 100 years, 200 years?
Yeah, you know, I think when people come, they'll definitely make their own meaning, and that was very important to Hank. You know, it looks different from different angles, and, you know, we'll take, in a few minutes, we'll walk in the center of it. It'll be as if you will be standing in the center of a hug, and we want that.
I also read that it's the largest monument to racial equity in the country. Is that the case? And were you going for that?
We were, and it is the largest American-made bronze statue in the country. It is Boston's Statue of Liberty. And so I think when people come here, I hope they feel a sense of pride and ownership that this was created in Boston and that the King's origin story started here.
So as you mentioned, this is a historic city. This is a historic place, the Common. So what does it mean? How does it change the meaning of the whole place to have this included?
Yeah, there hasn't been a memorial built in the Common in 60 years. There's been a moratorium of building things here. And many of the other monuments and memorials, one, don't look like this, and don't represent the amount of diverse peoples as this memorial does. And I was talking to some other folks, and they said they were surprised that we were able to pull this off. And because this has been a project that's been in the making for over 20 years, when Mayor Menino was the mayor of the city, there's always been talks to build a memorial for Dr. King. The only acknowledgement that Dr. King has in a significant way is a small plaque on Mass Ave on the side of a brownstone that's oftentimes covered with brush when it's summertime. And, you know, that says a lot for a city where every single corner, every single street sign, Sam Adams walked here, John Quincy Adams walked here. And so for such a historic city not to acknowledge the Kings has been a sad chapter in Boston's history, and I think we're emerging from that.
So I didn't realize you could walk into it. Can we walk into it?
Yeah. So there's probably like eight.
Wow.
Eight people could stand here. And so, like, Hank really captured all of the elements of that photo, from the bracelet, the cuffs on his sleeves, yeah, the buttons. We are literally standing in the center of a hug. We're being hugged,
yeah,
by the Kings or by our loved ones, by our ancestors. And so that's part of the magic and the point of this memorial.
You mentioned Chicago's Bean. Did you want this to be a ubiquitous, you know, symbol of the city that people think of whenever they think of Boston?
Yes, as a matter of fact, you and I have to take a picture, and we'll have to post it on Instagram later. I think this will be one of the most Instagram sites in the city. I hope people Instagram their proposals. I hope they Instagram their birthdays. I hope they take their wedding pictures here. And so it is also a place of joy. So it's a memorial, it's a place of history, but a place of joy. And so I'm excited that it's going to be all those things to a wide group of people.
Imari Paris Jeffries, Executive Director of Embrace, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
That was really cool. And you know what's even more cool is the fact that Rupa is actually here with me now to talk a little bit more about the Embrace. Rupa, how's it going?
It's good. Nice to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. I think it's our first time doing something like this.
I know. We got to do it more.
Oh, yeah. For real. I'm in. So talk to me about the Embrace. You know, what was the experience like seeing this monument up close?
It's big, a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. And I mean, it's a hug that's shaped like a heart.
Mm.
And that sounds like it might be corny, but it's not. It's actually very touching
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, there are these incredible details. I mean, it looks like two people hugging. And then you can walk into it and be inside of it and feel like you're part of a hug. And you do kind of. But the bigger thing is, like, this is the oldest park in the country. And now, just now, this is the first time that we have a monument made by and for people of color. That's a pretty big change.
Yeah, that's a big deal. You know, this monument depicts a hug between Martin Luther King and his wife, Coretta Scott.
Mm-hmm.
I want to focus on Coretta Scott and her role in King's legacy. Can you talk a little bit about that so people can understand her significance in the civil rights movement and her depiction in this monument?
That was one of the purposes of this monument, is to honor Coretta Scott King and just Black women and
right.
how much support they give to everyone else. But Coretta Scott King, there's a lot of really good research that shows that she was, you know, a major factor in keeping Martin Luther King on track and keeping him grounded. And so that's kind of what you see in the monument. Her arms are on the bottom. It kind of seems like she's holding him up.
Oh.
And Imari Paris Jeffries was saying, you know, that's how it was. She carried him for big portions of the civil rights movement.
That's real. I can understand that. We know what MLK means to America and the world, for that matter. A lot of us have the day off today, and hopefully we'll spend some time reflecting on his legacy and what he's done for all of us. Talk about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s significance to Boston specifically.
Well, this is where he came to study. He actually dated quite a bit and did not find a lady that he liked. He was set up with Coretta by some church folks.
Mm.
And it seems like immediately he was into it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not so much. And he had to do some selling. Their first date was actually at the Common. They walked around and talked. But the way that Martin Luther King used to talk about Coretta Scott King, and the way that they used to embrace just the pictures of them and the example that they showed the rest of the world during the civil rights movement, really influenced the way other people felt like they could express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it really translates onto the Common. Like, it's very different from everything else on the Common.
Mm.
And it makes you feel like you can be different from everything else on the Common. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's showing, like, the diversity, the variety of the country at this nation's oldest park.
What I'm hearing is it's bringing some new energy to Boston.
Well, I think it's important to recognize, like, since the beginning, people of color have been there. They've been active in the country. They just have not been recognized in this way.
100%.
And this is a way, you know, I think our whole nation is in a point where we're trying to learn how to respect this history, how to tell this history, how to learn this history. And this is a big part of that.
You know what? With that, Rupa, I'm going to say thank you so much. The story's awesome. This mime is awesome. The fact that you took some time to talk to us after your morning edition shift is awesome. Just thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. It's really fun talking to you. I'd love to do it anytime.
Absolutely. That's WBUR Morning Edition host Rupa Shenoy. And that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. You can find us on Instagram or Twitter at WBURTheCommon or by email at thecommon@wbur.org. We'll be back with another original episode of The Common tomorrow. In the meantime, I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you soon.